Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Jim Flink. The Brazilian documentary Elena tells the story of an actress, an artist who moved to New York in search of a career during the country's military dictatorship. Nearly two decades later, Elena's younger sister, Petra, who also became an actress, traveled to New York to learn more about her sister's life. Tim Robbins, the actor famous for his role in The Shawshank Redemption, says, Elena is a beautiful piece of work, elegant, poetic, visually stunning, and viscerally moving. Joining us on Global Journalist today to talk about that film, the current political culture situation in Brazil, are Petra Costa, the director of Elena, and Jack Draper, an associate professor of Portuguese at the University of Missouri Columbia. And welcome to both of you, and thanks for being here today. So let's talk with you first, Petra, about the film. Tell me what it's about.
As you said, the film is about my search for my sister, Elena, who moved to New York when she was 18, 19. At a moment, Brazilian culture was having a very bare landscape and wanted to be a film actress. She had that dream that had come from my mother somehow, but was met with a reality that was harder than she expected, as many artists do when they move to New York. So she started to fall into depression, and we went there to be with her, and something tragic happens. And the film unravels that, and I come to New York 20 years later to try to understand and reconfigure Elena's story.
Yeah, it is a powerful, powerful film. I watched it right before the show. Sometimes I think that's really a lot better because the feelings are fresh, and I can tell you that it elicited for me such an emotional reaction. And I think that that's the strength of storytelling. One of the things that struck me was that I felt that I was watching art unfold in this film, in an impressionistic way, sort of a Monet sort of unfolding. You use very powerful shadows. You use water consistently through this film, light, stone, different objects that when you say them, you have to see the film in order to be able to understand that. But tell me about Impressionism and about the role that maybe that plays in your thought process.
Well, since I had the idea of making the film, I wanted to make a film where the audience would go through the journey that I went to in going to New York and try to put them in my shoes and my point of view of the city and this very subjective sensation of being in a city and looking at it and feelings of solitude. So I was trying to find a photography that would enable the audience to get into that very subjective point of view. And that's why there are the shadows, for example, for me were very powerful in that way, because when you're alone, you have only your shadow, right? And finding ways of filming the landscape of like Times Square and that invasion of lights from all sides where you don't see anything clearly, and it's more this experience of overflow, right, of light and colors. And so I was constantly trying to find an image that would transpose to that. And the waters, for me, were a very important image in the film because I see in Ophelia, mm-hmm. the girlfriend of Hamlet, who mm-hmm. drowned, somewhat of an archetype of what I was trying to tell about me, my sister, and my mother, which is this intertwining of three women who, in the transition from adolescence to adulthood, almost drown in their own emotions.
Right. Jack Draper, you study film, Brazilian film,
yes.
as a passion as well as a career. And Tell me about why you felt compelled to bring Petra and the film here.
Well, I met Petra a few years ago at a conference where she showed a short film of hers, which is called Oyoshi Hesaka, or Undertow Eyes, which is has some similarities to Elena in that it's about her, it's autobiographical about her family, focusing on the relationship of her grandparents and their romance. I was really impressed by that film, and it has some of the same qualities that you were talking about. Beautiful impressionistic imagery that develops the kind of subjective experience, it gives you a sense of the subjective experience of the characters in the film. And personally, I am very interested in the theme of memory and nostalgia in Brazilian cinema, which is often described with this word saudade, which is a word for a nostalgic longing that is a word very unique to the Portuguese language. And so I'm writing a book now exploring that emotion in cinema, and I thought Petra's film is a great example of a kind of modern-day, transnational, perspective on that emotion that expands outside of Brazil into this context of New York.
What do you think it is about Brazil, though, specifically, that makes saudade so important? Is it recent developments? Is it the ebb and flow of political life there?
That is connected. I mean, the one thing that in the past century, a big element was people transitioning from a rural agricultural society to this huge industrial giant that it's become, you know, over the last 50 years or 60, 70 years. Mm-hmm. And with that, you had people moving all across the country from different regions and feeling these emotions of being sort of torn away sometimes from the original regions and the rural traditions that they were coming away from. And saudade was a way of kind of emotionally maintaining a connection to the past, to traditions, to perhaps regions or families they had left behind. But that word is a Portuguese word that it is an older word by several hundred years than the word nostalgia. Mm. So it has this long history that goes back to medieval Portugal. So there's like really deep roots in the language and the culture.
Petra, what does saudade mean to you?
It's a beautiful word, and it's very present in Brazilian music as well. And it's interesting that the song that most reminds me of Elena, which she taught me and we sang together a lot, was Chega de Saudade, which is a bossa nova song. When you say, I miss you, or I'm nostalgic for you, there's a sense of weight, and it's kind of sad. And saudade, it has a beauty and a cherished thing in it. Like, it's all, at the same time wonderful to feel saudade. It's sad but wonderful, so it's something we cultivate.
It is so interesting that you say that, because personally, I have a very difficult time going to sadness, going to deep sadness, and found myself in this film wanting to hide from that. And yet the film doesn't hide from that. And in fact, from the very premise of it, from the very beginning, there's hope that really comes out, the hope of youth, the hope of a future, the hope of so many things. Can you walk me through that? Because this is your story, and it's a difficult story at times. I mean, very difficult. So how difficult was it for you to, is it cathartic, or was it something else?
It's definitely cathartic. But I think what possibly the word saudade helped me have this perspective that I always had, that Elena, for me, my sister, even though I was very sad not to have her, she was always a constant source of inspiration. And for many years, I was strengthened by the thought that she wasn't there, but I had her always inside me. And that's what motivated me to look and to get to know her more. And then I was given so many gifts in the process of making this film, because I went about looking for everything I could find of hers and found things I would have never suspected, like 20 hours of footage from the beginning of the 80s where I was born and she got a video camera and filmed me dancing with her and her training me to become an actress because she loved Shirley Temple. Her letters, and met so many actors who today are quite famous actors in Brazil who had such a vivid memory of her and idealized her to a point I would never have imagined. So I gained a sister in a beautiful way through making this film. It's like the power of art to almost give life again.
And you mentioned that at times in the film. You're listening to Global Journalist. I'm Jim Flink. Today we're looking at the Brazilian documentary Helena, as well as the current socio-political climate of Brazil. Joining us, Petra Costa, the director of Helena, and Jack Draper, an associate professor of Portuguese at the University of Missouri. I do want to remind you that you can listen to this and other full episodes of Global Journalist on our website. That's globaljournalist.org. For more Global Journalist content, you can also like us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter. That is at Global Journ. You talk about finding your sister, and you have a conversation with her throughout this film, and it is poetic and it is beautiful. And at one point, either in this interview or during the film, you talk about poetry. But the conversations that you have with her are deeply personal, and as if it is just the two of you. And how do you do that?
Well, she had the habit of doing that because she used to send audio tapes instead of writing letters. Mm-hmm. When she lived in the U.S., she would record audio tapes. And our family sometimes would record videotapes and send to her. So, like, you're exchanging audio and video letters.
Right.
And when I saw that, I felt, oh, I want to make this film as a video letter for Helena. And also because I feel that what Helena went through was so kind of intrinsic to the human condition, like feelings of solitude, feelings of not being able to achieve one's dream, and a sensation of failure that are quite universal, I think, and we tend to hide from it. So sometimes I would see Helena as, and this is very present in the film, like the figure of the moon. Mm. And she even would say sometimes, like, I'm dancing with the moon.
When she was holding a light.
Exactly. So the moon as this obscure part of the human mind that everyone tends to hide or not look at. And I see the film as a process of dancing with the moon, of becoming intimate with that which we fear, and then that will give you strength.
I have very limited exposure to Brazilian culture, not having been to the country, having worked with some Brazilians over an extended period of time. But there is something very passionate about the Brazilians that I have met and spent some time with. All in on life, in dancing, in art, in music. What do you see coming out of this film, Jack Draper, that sort of resonates with that? Because it struck me that Helena is so very Brazilian, maybe a bit naive to the world, and hopeful, and yet what do you see that resonated that is Brazilian? Or am I simplifying it too much?
No, I wouldn't say necessarily it's exactly representative of, the emotions of all the Brazilian people, but I feel like there's an emotional courage and openness that I find really amazing in the film, which perhaps has something to do with the ability to explore this ambiguous space between joy and sadness and sort of be comfortable there, not... Mm-hmm. Which relates to this emotion of saudade that mixes celebrating someone you love, but also grieving that you've lost them or that you're distant from them. And so there's, it seems like within the Brazilian culture there is a different degree of openness to expressing emotions, I think. Mm. But also I think, you know, what Petras bring to this is the emotional courage to explore some difficult periods in her family's history that that I find unique to her as a filmmaker. So I would say it's a combination of her individual courage and openness, and then some of the, you know, the Brazilian cordiality you're talking about, or openness to strong emotions, I'd say.
What's the relationship to New York for your family, and how do you view it? Your mother went to New York. Mm-hmm. Your sister went to New York. You went to New York. And each of you found a different kind of experience there. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that relationship? And why New York? Was that something that was magical because of film, because of Shirley Temple or whomever?
Actually, the first person that went to New York was my father when he was 19. And right. He went to New York quite unpoliticized and a bit of a playboy, and returned to Brazil as a communist, wanting to follow the path of Che mm-hmm. Guevara. And so for him, New York symbolized like this political transformation. It was a time of the Vietnam War, and right. He was living in the village. Then for my sister, New York was definitely connected to this imagery of cinema and film, and her dream to become a film actress. She loved Coppola, and it was the time of
she
The Godfathers.
Coppola. Yeah,
and she had this idea that she would go there and meet Coppola, and she actually did. But then for me, New York had a very different significance, because it became the taboo, the forbidden place of if I went to New York, the same thing that happened to my sister could happen to me. Right. And that created the classical story of don't go there, and then, of course, that's the place where you will go. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy I did, because it wasn't facing the fears that I was able to dissolve them.
Because so much of the seminal moments of this film happen when you are very, very young, is there a part of you, because I think you were 7 or 8 years old, right? Mm-hmm. When many of the major events of this film yeah. happen, is there a part of you that is forever 7 or 8 in terms of looking at this? Are you, obviously you have evolved and, mm-hmm. and it's very clear in mm-hmm. the film that you have. But is there a part of you that's always there?
Well, what I've been finding lately, as I investigate other stories that I want to tell, is how these years of 4, 5, 6, 7 are years that have an emotional strength that other years do not have. But I don't think it's singular to me, because I've read many writers, filmmakers that say that the memories of the childhood, I mean, Proust was spending I don't know how many years, 10 years, trying to remember each single instant of his childhood, that they're the most fertile moments of memory. And I think that's true.
So you think it's maybe not just you, but that we're all so impacted by the things that happen during that time frame of our lives that are formative
to
what we
see. I don't know if all, but
many.
But many, yeah.
The idea of filmmaking, you went to be an actress, mm-hmm. and then you became an anthropologist. Mm-hmm. Talk about the transition from actress to anthropologist to filmmaker.
Yes. I was doing theater in Brazil quite intensely, and felt that to be able to express my vision of the world, I needed to know more about the world. And that's when I really had a strong desire to try to go to a North American university where I could build my own curriculum and not be condemned to one subject for the 4 years. And that's when I went to Barnard College in New York, and there could compose, and my my curiosities and went into anthropology, which for me made a lot of sense because it's so much about making sense of the world through human contact and immersing yourself in someone else's reality as much as you can. And coming from Brazil, where our country, I mean, it is about that, you know, it's about, you can never understand Brazil if you don't go into all the different communities and try to live and eat and listen to what they listen. That's where the culture is. And for me, that was genius. It was the first moment that I, because in Brazil, anthropology is to study Indians. That was the vision I had, at least. So to find that you will find knowledge of the world by immersing yourself in other people's realities rather than finding statistics or making theories from the upper part of society made a lot of sense. And visual anthropology then, which is going to those places with the camera, for me made even more sense because the camera worked as a key into people's hearts and minds, you know, like a space that I could be there and ask questions and empty out from my own ego and just listen. So that was beautiful to learn. And then documentary filmmaking, more artistically speaking, managed to put my passion into theater and art back into film. So it all kind of coalesced.
When you look at Brazil today, it's going to be forefront this year on the world stage, not once, but twice. And there is a growing awareness. What kinds of changes are you witnessing, both in life, but as equally important as art, as I'm sure you're keeping your finger on the pulse of that?
Generally speaking, in life, there's the aspect of political changes in Brazil and then economic changes as well, which are have a lot of changes that have happened. It's a young democracy, which, you know, they came out of the dictatorship finally in 1985. So since then, Brazil's been kind of growing this nascent democracy and electing its first presidents since the end of the dictatorship era, which you see, noted that affected Petra's family, and that they had to go into hiding during the dictatorship because they were in dissidents. So now, today, you get a situation where they've had President Cardoso and President Lula and now President Dilma Rousseff, who have been fairly successful at, you know, helping to grow the economy and then increasingly develop social programs that dealt with the really big issues of hunger and poverty in Brazil, which have been dealt with, but there's still definitely a long way to go in that area. But that's something that's still the focus, I think, of the, you know, of the government in Brazil, is continuing this economic growth while trying to basically reduce inequality that is really historical in Brazil. It goes back hundreds of years. But in terms of art, I think you can see in cinema, it's sort of alluded to, well, directly referenced by Elena herself in the film Elena. She says in the early 90s when she's, or is that in 1990? Mm-hmm. That exact year?
Somewhere,
1990. Right then is when this first government of President Collor was neoliberally oriented, so they were removing investments in cinema that had existed there. Ironically, during the dictatorship, the situation was better for cinema,
right,
because they actually had some government investment in the industry. So since then, Brazil has passed some laws and increased the, you know, various kinds of incentives to make cinema, and there actually are much more opportunities for someone like Petra to make a film than there were in that era in the early 90s when they literally were just making like one movie a year.
And do you see that in your own career, that you're starting to get interest and more investment in the kinds of things you're trying to work on?
Definitely.
What ways?
Well, 150 films are produced in Brazil per year now. At Elena's time, it was one per year. So I feel that we're a product of our time so much. That's very clear for me in looking at my mother's story, my sister's story, and myself, because it's three women that had a relationship to the camera, to the arts. And for them, it was a much more conflictuous relationship of love. But then the resources are not there, and then you start to feel that you are not capable. But for me, as the resources are there now, I feel so grateful for kind of my mother's history of struggling for this to be possible, for us to build a country where we can live as citizens and create art. So that has been a product of several years.
Art is so very important, it seems, in your expression of life. What comes next? Because there are times when a film like this can be a defining film for all the good things, but then they can be defining in that maybe, is there something, what kind of film do you want to make next?
A couple of ideas. I am making one now, which should be ready by the end of the year, with a Danish co-director. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's been a very interesting experience, because I find that Denmark is kind of an opposite complementary culture to Brazilian culture in a way. But there is something in Danish cinema that is very present that I really like, which is this deep psychological diving, but without ever being melodramatic. So I'm learning a lot with that. But it's a French actress, a French-Italian actress, which we're talking about.
Elena is released May 30th
exactly.
of this year. And it will show where?
It will show at IFC in New York, in L.A. June 13th, mm-hmm. and many other cities of the U.S. to follow.
And tell me, in your words, why you think people should go see this film.
Because I hope that they will connect and maybe be invited to dance with their own unconsolable memories and find inspiration in that. And get to know a little bit more of Brazilian culture too.
Out of this film, you mentioned that you found a part of yourself that mm-hmm. maybe you were looking for, and you've had conversations about that. I get the sense that viewers will find that as well. As you just mentioned, and that's a part of the hope. Is there anything cinematography-wise that you hope that they see, that's your style, that they say, ah, that's Petra?
I don't think it's unique of my style, but I try to construct what I think is kind of a road movie of the mind.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for talking with us about this film. Terrific film and really, really impactful. That's all for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute and the Missouri School of Journalism. Our thanks to Petra Costa, the director of Elena, Jack Draper, an associate professor of Portuguese at the University of Missouri. Our executive producer is Casey Morrell. Travis McMillan from the Reynolds Journalism Institute is our technical director. Austin Federa from KBIA is our audio engineer. And join us again next time, won't you, for another edition of Global Journalist. I'm Jim Plank. Thank you for listening.